Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Character Reveal. It's a show where we reveal people's character, you know. As always, I am joined by my amazing co-host. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Stephanie. We are here today with Evan.
Hey!
Evan, what is it that you do that's so super awesome?
I am a cosplayer and a LARPer and a huge dork otherwise.
Okay, so you're going to fit right in just fine. So we've been having a lot of strings of people that are mostly just into video games and stuff, so it's kind of nice to make a little bit of a departure from that. So before we get into anything too in-depth, how are you doing today?
I'm excellent.
What have you, what you been up to? We're already kind of actually acquainted, so.
Yeah. Well, this week, I've got a LARP this weekend, actually, so I've been making costumes all week and spell packets and stuff. It's our first weekend actually camping, officially. This LARP's held at a campground, and up until this point, it's been cold enough that we've been staying at the inn, quote-unquote, which is like the large cabin at the entrance, because, you know, it's cold out, it's gross. But
don't want to get too cold.
Yeah, so I'm part of a pirate crew in this LARP, and we've been granted our own lands, so we have our own campsite now, and we're making festive buntings and flags and all kinds of stuff to decorate.
Sounds festive.
It is very festive.
Very cool. Back to you, Steph. How are you doing today? Busy, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I am kind of busy. I'm packing up my whole life.
Getting
ready to move states, so.
Oh, I heard about this. Congratulations. Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited, but, like, kind of nervous. And I'm glad to take a break from, I've been putting stuff in boxes for, like, every free moment I've had for the last 72 hours, so.
And I'm sure it probably took you that much time to pack up all your books, I'm assuming?
I have 16 boxes of books, and all of them are easily at least 30 pounds, if not more.
That's, I don't have a good joke for that. That's a whole lot of books. something, something, Book of Eli, something, something, the book from Gravity Falls, something, something. So that's cool. That's cool. So, Evan, you also write for the same blog as Stephanie and I.
Indeed, I do.
I was going to ask you if that's correct, but you know that, and that was more for the listeners.
I've been living a double life that somehow I don't know about.
Well, I'm kind of
do
like a...
Do you have
a,
an evil twin?
Do you?
It's possible.
See, I feel like we all kind of have alter egos, kind of, some rogue stuff. You know, we've all done costumes, so if there's another me running around, hopefully they're as good as costumes as me, so it'd be more confusing.
I'm definitely another person on the internet that's, you know, secretly, I have a secret internet identity. No, not really. But
oh, I was getting excited for a second.
No.
Well, that's cool. So any costumes that you're working on outside of LARPing right now, or just pretty much the LARP stuff?
I'm updating a couple that I have made already. I'm not starting any from the ground up at the moment, but I'm a lot bigger now. I've gained a lot of muscle mass. I started testosterone in, like, October, and I've been working out pretty aggressively, so I'm 20 pounds heavier now, and there are costumes. Sorry?
Congrats.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, there are costumes. Yeah, there are costumes that I really enjoy wearing that I can't fit into anymore because I'm buff now, so.
I'm super jelly.
Yeah, there are worse things.
Yeah, it is definitely a double-edged problem to have, I guess.
Can I ask a personal question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and this is to help me out. How do you maintain motivation to go to the gym? Because I consistently lose my motivation to go to the gym and work out.
I'm cheating a little bit because my dad has a subscription to these Skype sessions with a personal trainer.
Oh, okay.
And I just sit in on them. Like, I don't have to pay. The guy's cool with me just, like, being in the background, working along with the thing. So it really helps when you have to make an appointment. Like you know, the thing is at 7:30, and if you're not at the thing, then that's it. You can't just work out later in the day. Well, I mean, you can, but you've missed your window. You've missed your personal training session. So that's
fair.
Yeah, that's what has helped me out, because I'm in the same boat as you. Like, if left to my own devices, I'll just be like, I'll do it later. And it's 11 at night. Yeah, I can work out at 2 in the morning. That's fine.
I can do a couple push-ups, maybe run around the house a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. What costumes are you working on, if you don't mind sharing?
I need to remake my Billy Kaplan, a.k.a. Wiccan, which is the worst superhero name ever. But anyway, there's a lot of baggage that goes with that superhero name that the creators... really dropped the ball on. Anyway, the character I'm into, so I've got an elaborate bodysuit with like LEDs in it that only has a two-way stretch and does not accommodate any changes in body size whatsoever. So I'm gonna be restarting that one pretty soon. I've been wearing Dorian from Dragon Age pretty consistently lately.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah, I'm all about that mustache.
such a good mustache.
Such a good mustache. But
there's very few things that are not improved by a cool mustache.
Yeah, yeah, that's fancy science. Mustache. But yeah, so that one, I'm constantly making minor updates to that because it's got way too many parts. I've got a cousin who's kind of a genius, and he's 3D printing some components for me because I had them made out of Warbla and I wasn't really satisfied with them, so I'm making aesthetic changes to that one.
Ooh, aesthetic.
Aesthetic. Hashtag aesthetic. And then I am planning on going to FlameCon in New York City.
What's FlameCon?
It's a queer geek convention.
Oh, that
when
sounds
it's only the second annual this year, I believe. But I'm not sure where it's held exactly. I've never been, but I have a friend who lives in Brooklyn, and I plan on going to stay with them, and I've never been, but it's fairly inexpensive, and I've got free accommodations, and it's full of queer geeks, and you really can't go wrong.
Well, to the internets to find some stuff out. Yeah. Oh, it's August 20th and 21st at the Marriott. And the thing disappeared. But that's the weekend it is, so...
Plug for FlameCon.
Plug
might
for...
Might have to hit that up.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about wearing Uber and Martell for that one, which just needs some... minor tweaks. I made that one kind of in a rush, and I didn't do the undershirt quite correctly, so I'm gonna update it a little bit.
Okay. Seems like you got a lot in the fire then, a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah, unusually for me, I've got a social life lately. I've got stuff to do, so.
Hey, well, that's double congratulations on that one.
Thanks. Yeah.
Is it mostly based on like the LARP and stuff, or?
Yeah, I've made a lot of friends through the LARP. I've like my Dorian costume, through interacting with other Dragon Age cosplayers, I have like a cosplay group now, which has never happened before. Like, I've never had a group. Yeah, I've never had a group actually like pan out the way we said we were going to when we got together and decided we were going to do a cosplay group, you know?
Yeah, it's the third best feeling in the world.
What's the first two?
Inappropriate.
Okay. That is accurate.
I am currently sipping a beverage of the adult variety, so if it has coursed through my veins a little bit more about it later in this podcast, we can delve into the other two best feelings in the world.
We'll save those for a special occasion.
Maybe, you know, the holiday episode, but I believe we've chatted in a Facebook group once or twice about the other top things in the world. Fancy.
Yeah.
Steph, are you working on any costumes, or are you kind of pretty much, I mean, like, mentally working? Obviously, you're not physically at the moment.
In my heart, I would like to make a real Eliza Hamilton dress instead of just continuing to wear this one, because for the first con, like, the fresh first, like, bloom of Hamilton fandom at cons, it was, like, the only Hamilton cosplay. But now that there are other Hamilton cosplays wandering around that are actually making, like, the teal dress that are from the actual show, as opposed to me wearing my, like, 15-year-old Abigail Adams costume, and, like, my heart wants to make another one, but my wallet says no.
Let's, I mean, no one has called you on it. In fact, people seem to think that it's the correct one, so... But also, you did, like, such an amazing job with my Alexander costume. I feel like the itch is there.
Yeah.
You guys looked stellar, by the way. I saw those photos. And
thank you.
Also, I have a confession to make. I have not listened to any of Hamilton. I know nobody has seen it, but... everyone keeps insisting to me that I have to expose myself to Hamilton immediately, and hey. I feel this, like, I don't know, there's this, like, intimidation factor that comes with, like, fandom, so, when people are real hardcore about something and they're telling you, like, you have to do the thing. And so,
if it,
like,
makes you feel any better, I still haven't watched Orange is the New Black because so many people told me when it first came out how much I was gonna like it. Just watch it.
Yeah, like, I feel that.
What's if you, I watched like 3 episodes of it and I'm like, man, they really need to get Jason Biggs out of here, and then I never went back.
Yeah, he becomes less significant. So,
well, the same thing happened with like House of Cards to me. Like, if you're watching them, binge watching them, you can do that so easily and maybe, like, fall asleep and wake up. But if you fall apart binge-watching, like, you go to sleep or lose 12 hours or something, or 24 hours, you kind of just stop knowing what's going on. You kind of stop caring. Like, that's what happened to me, at least. I don't know if that happens to anybody else, but there's just a point where it's like, well, I could probably just read a wiki on this.
Yeah, I know. Like, there are definitely some things that I... Well, there's some things that I purposely watch because I don't have to pay that close attention to. Like, I've been watching House. I had never seen House before. And, like, it's very, like, episodic. You know, you don't... There's themes that follow through, but it's... You know, you can just watch one episode at a time and get your disease of the week and move on. You don't have to, like, memorize the complex happenings of the last episode or whatever. So,
for sure. I think it helps that that was a show that was definitely built to be episodic. Mm-hmm. It was built to be, hey, wait till you see what happens next week, rather than a, hey, you're still watching this, right? Just click next. How far did you get into House?
Oh, geez. See, the problem is that I'm, like, marathon watching it on, I won't say binge watching it because I'm watching it in chunks, but I'm watching it in segments on Netflix, and it just plays automatically. I really have no idea what season or what episode I'm in, because it just keeps going and going. Then it it dares to question whether I'm still watching it.
How dare Netflix. Have you, did you get past the point with the interns and all that?
Yeah, I've just reached the end of the, like, reality show segment, I guess, where he's, like, eliminating a group of 40 potential doctors or whatever.
Yeah, that was a nice couple seasons or one. So yeah, you're about to hit the feels season, so be prepared for that.
The feels.
Yeah, I hesitate to say spoiler alert because this happened like over 8 years ago.
I like having stuff spoiled for me, so don't worry about it.
Oh, so you said you do?
Yeah, I'm like, everybody like freaks out about spoilers, but I actually... I don't know, like, I like having a little taste of what I'm going to get, because I like to anticipate it. Like, I like to hear about it and then be, like, waiting for it to happen. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, carry on with the spoiler.
Oh, no, it's, so there's, like, the infamous, like, trio of things on TV that will make you cry. Like, two of them are from Futurama, and the other is on House, when Wilson's girlfriend dies, and it's sort of House's fault, but not really, but, like, you could follow the through line to that.
Yeah.
And, there's, like, it's, like, a whole two-part episode, and the first one's just, like, disease of the week, and they solve it, and, like, cool, everything's good, right? And they're, like, hey, by the way, where's your girlfriend? And he's, like, what? And they find out, oh, that's the next episode, and she passes away, and there's all this sad music, and even though I had seen that episode two or three times, I remember once on vacation, I was with my brother and some bros having, like, bro fest at the beach, but it got interrupted by the rain, so we're watching House, and we're, like, oh, man, here comes that episode, we should change the channel. And then we never did, and we had four dudes crying in a room, and that was,
all comforting first... each other.
Yeah, and that was my first step at breaking down toxic masculinity, was watching House.
So. Good job, Dom.
Yeah, I'm gonna just pat myself on the back. You guys can't see it, but, you know, it's there.
It's a round of applause from my end.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, much appreciated. So, yeah, if you ever do update that, Eliza cosplay, let me know.
I was thinking maybe we could bring them to New York Comic Con if we go.
I'm definitely going to do that because I can go, quote unquote, back to New York and finish up my studies, etc., etc. Puns will be made.
Excellent.
Evan, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sort of related to cosplays that Steph and I have done, and it's not our rapid fire round, which you'll see later. If you were to cosplay as an internet website or social media or browser or anything along that sorts, you know, to personify it, who would you be?
Oh, man. I don't use that many social networks. I just can't keep track of all of them.
Smart.
Yeah. I use Facebook and I use Tumblr, and that's really it. I don't do the Twitter. I don't do the Pinterest.
I can't handle the Pinterest.
Yeah, no. If I want to know some stuff I can do with mason jars, that's where I'll go. But otherwise, otherwise I'm steering clear. I don't know.
Yeah, and this is definitely a hashtag aesthetic question. So no need to, it doesn't have to be an endorsement of the website.
I feel like I'm going to sound like I'm full of myself saying this. Maybe Instagram?
That's perfect. We needed an Instagram.
We did a cosplay group at the last con of, we were all different websites. Dom was Twitter, I was Tumblr. My one friend, we had a YouTube, we had a WebMD with a sign that said, you could fill in whatever your symptoms were, but the diagnosis was always cancer.
Oh, that's clever. I like the WebMD one.
I brought him a stethoscope, and he had a lab coat. It was fantastic.
And a great beard. Let's not skip on the greatness of the beard.
Very doctory beard.
Very doctory beard.
And then I think we had, Wikipedia, Facebook, and then our friends.
Wikipedia is a good one. See, like, I was trying to pick social networks, but Wikipedia is my jam.
That Wikipedia was a good jam. Also, I think another good beard. We had some good beards in our group, actually. I neglected to consider that. Beards are always...
like the real beards and not like a fake girlfriend to cover up your homosexuality.
Yeah, hey, speak for yourself. I was assuming that's what you meant. I gather that anyone that hangs out with you guys pretty much is open with their homosexuality. Open. So
you could say you could say we're good at opening people, as you were opening people up. You know, it's a doctor joke in there somewhere. Yeah, I don't know.
That's not the kind of joke that I thought it was. Like, that's why I was kind of grimacing to myself.
Oh, see, that's a triple entendre, if you will. Just gonna put some respect on that.
Good job.
So, besides FlameCon, you got any cons, any other ones lined up?
New York Comic Con is the weekend, actually, it is the very day of my birthday, I believe, this year. It's always the weekend adjacent to my birthday, but I believe this year it is, in fact, on the day of my birthday. So, provided that I can get tickets, which is always questionable, but assuming that, I'm definitely going to New York Comic Con.
Oh, swiggity swag. If we make our way up, we should definitely, like, meet up and do some kind of cool handshake or something.
Yes, we should.
I don't know the appropriate response for someone that you've never met in person when you finally meet them in person is, so cool handshake or like a rocket power woogity or something.
Yeah, I'm a hugger. We can hug.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I am a fan of the hugs, but you can't just, you know, run up on people and assume, you know, You know what they say about assuming?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the first thing that people do is what they say about assuming.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm all about hugs, so go ahead.
I see, I feel so welcome. That's the power of an internet friendship post-1999. Pre-1999, maybe don't do that, but now it's a little bit more free.
Yeah, well, the internet was weird pre-1999.
Are you saying that it's not weird now, or it's just a different
Kind of weird? No, but okay, it was a different flavor of weird. The internet, I don't know, the internet was definitely creepier and more questionable than it is now. There's definitely some level of transparency to the internet now. Like, they can find you. You know what I'm saying?
They can find you.
Like, you know, you have to link your identities together on the internet a lot more than you used to have to. So
yeah. And they willingly got us to do that. It's just like, yep. Hey, you wanna hook your Facebook to your Twitter, to your Instagram, to your credit card, to your house line? It's like, absolutely, I want to do this.
Yeah. I want to not type in more than one password ever.
Do you want to actually get Foursquare and tell us where you're at every minute of your life? Yeah, I don't see the problem with that.
Yeah, Google consistently freaks me out. I've got, like, I don't have an iPhone. I've got an Android phone, and, you know, Google owns that. And
you're the best person ever for not having an iPhone.
Hey.
I don't have anything against iPhones. They just, they're so delicate, and I don't like the keyboards. I don't like the glass screen because I am a chronic phone dropper, and I don't want to have to spend another $50 on a case just to not break the $800 phone. Anyway.
That's smart.
But anyway, so Google, you know, is constantly watching your every move on that phone, and it's not even subtle about it. Like, I Googled something, and, like, on your Google homepage thing, it gives you stuff you think you'd be interested in or whatever. But for some reason, it felt the need to tell me that, like, at 1:47 p.m. today, you were parked for 27 minutes at this address. And I was like, what? How is that relevant to my life, Google?
Why'd you store that?
Yeah, it's just keeping me in my place. It's just... Like, it's reminding me that it knows everything that I do, and
that's
like,
really weird.
Yeah, but anyway, like, I've just accepted it. I've accepted our Google overlords. So
the weirdest thing that ever happened to me with, like, the internet tracking me as a person was my freshman year at college. We were taking a Japanese class, and we had to write a letter to, like, a Japanese pen pal, and we were to send a paper letter to this person, because we had to write out the characters and everything for practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person would email us back, but we sent them our school email, which was on the school server, unrelated at all to anything, like my Google, my Facebook, anything. None of them were made with that email address. And like a year and a half later, someone came up in my Facebook people you may know suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my pen pal. How did you connect us? This is a stranger I've spoken to twice through a private server in Japan.
I'm going to hope they just searched you. I really just hope it was a situation of, oh, I'm going to go find this person. I hope it was that. And Facebook's just like, this person seems to search you a lot.
Oh, I lost audio again. I don't know if you guys can hear me or not, but I currently cannot hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, now you're back.
All right, cool. We can just edit that out in post. Yeah. Super simple.
In post. I've got shitty internet, sorry.
Hey, it's okay. Fine. I mean, it might be nice to leave it in just to give people a behind the curtains, you know?
Yeah. I live out in the boonies, and unfortunately the only internet you can get around here is, like, 20 megs for $65 a month. So.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were... I guess I did know there were boonies out your way. I kind of just always assume if it's not like Pennsylvania or Wyoming that it's just a bustling city. And I guess that's not accurate.
Yeah, no, Southern Maryland is the South. I don't know if you guys have ever been through, but Maryland is a very small state. But the difference between like the South of Maryland and the North of Maryland is astonishing. Like, the north of Maryland is effectively, like, New England, almost. And the south of Maryland is effectively, like...
I guess Virginia, right? West Virginia?
It's like a combination of, like, West Virginia and, like, rural Tennessee, maybe.
Oh, my goodness. God. Yeah. I have no interest in that. I mean, I live... It's the county I live in, then one county, and then West Virginia. And it's essentially... You can see the influences from West Virginia, and the stereotypes are true.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
There's a more than a few Confederate flags, mostly on people's trucks and cars. And
yep,
you know, I saw a car yesterday that had a sticker that had the Confederate flag and a little thing that said "Heritage, not hate." And I feel like if you have to make that distinction, yeah, if you make that qualifier, I feel like you're kind of saying, I don't know what you're saying, but I kind of feel like you know what you're doing isn't the best thing.
Yeah, like you're acknowledging that it needs explaining, like.
Right.
There's a guy who drives around my town who has in the bed of his pickup truck, he has mounted an American flag and a Confederate flag on a pole, on poles, like, so that when he drives around, they, like, flow majestically behind him.
Oh yeah, that's, there's many of those around here. Like, there was some controversy recently because the "Welcome to St. Mary's County" sign on the side of the highway, I guess the land behind it is, like, privately owned. Like, the sign is obviously on the roadside, it's on government land, but, like, a few hundred yards behind it, I guess that's private land, and somebody had erected a flagpole and put a Confederate flag on it, like, right behind the "Welcome to St. Mary's County" sign. And, like, I wouldn't say down here is not the sort of place where you'll have a ton of outcry, but there was some murmuring that maybe that's inappropriate. I think we should talk to that guy. Can we do something about that, maybe?
Kind of paints the whole county a certain way.
Yeah. So, eventually it stopped being there. I don't know what sort of negotiations they entered into with that landowner, but, it was there for, I don't know, like 2 months or something like that.
Oh, okay. So kind of a fresh thing, and they kind of just got rid of, put the kibosh on that.
Yeah. It was a recent occurrence. It was just this year that somebody decided they were going to put a flagpole up back there.
Oh, it's definitely trying to be that guy.
Yeah.
That's the most that guy thing I've heard.
Yeah.
At least today. Question for you, another one. I never asked, and this is kind of for the viewers, but also for me. And I know we try to steer away from 101 questions, but, like, how'd you get into LARPing?
There's a LARP in Maryland called Darkon, and yeah. I had been playing around with the idea of getting involved with that one for a while. I knew about it. I'd seen the Darkon documentary, which it's a wild ride, let me tell you. it's worth watching, but not probably for the reasons that the documentary filmmakers thought that it would be worth watching. But so anyway, you know, I knew about it. I kind of knew what it was about. So I thought maybe I'd like to dabble in that. And right when I moved back, like within a week or two, I met somebody at a bonfire party who was pretty involved in Darkon, and they invited me along, and I was like, oh, okay, great. This is a perfect confluence of events that has happened.
Nice.
So they took me to Darkon, and I was super disappointed by everything about it, really.
Not so nice.
Yeah, the culture is not great. There's a lot of, I don't know, there's a specific type of white dude who has Mjolnir tattoo and, like, listens to Viking metal and, like, has a lot of, like, facial piercings, and it's like, I don't know.
We used to have a commenter on the blog who was like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He was like the precursor to the blockies of today.
Yeah, it's like a weird combination of, like, goth and, like, they'll wear, like, camo pants, and I don't know. It's the specific type of, like, goth, angry, loud white dude. And,
like, you know it when you see it, but it's hard to describe.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know exactly what kind of, like, genre or what kind of category of society this iconic human fits into. But anyway, it's all those dudes. They're all really full of themselves, very pseudo-intellectual. And
okay.
Yeah,
I have the perfect image already, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what Darkon is. All of those dudes, and they get together in a field with some, you know, there's a sliding scale of how much ass goes into the costumes, like from half-ass to no-ass to full-ass. Like,
that's a perfect scale, actually.
Yeah. But, you know, there's kind of sort of period costumes, no plot whatsoever. Apparently they do some role play at the campouts, but anyway, so, you know, it's just dudes in a field hitting each other as hard as possible for, like, 4 hours straight. Like,
I feel like you could do that without the pretense of LARPing. Like, you could just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have a fight club.
Yeah, basically. So I was probably in the 10th percentile of smallest people there. Like, I was, like, compared to the majority of these humans, I was half the weight of most of them. And I went to two events, and I kept getting messed up. Like, I was not having fun. I was just getting the shit beat out of me, basically. And I was like, never gonna be involved with LARP. This is just not my game. But then the person I am currently dating and their friends who came together as my Dragon Age group, and then the group of friends that they're involved with, they go to a LARP in New Jersey called Night Realms, and based on what they told me, it was totally different, like, system, and I was like, alright, I'll give this another shot. So, this one I have to drive 5 hours to, but it is so worth it, it is awesome. Let me tell you, like, super heavy roleplay, all kinds of, like, world-building complexity, it runs like a video game, you've got all kinds of abilities, and there's gold, and there's trades and professions, and there's, you can sell stuff, and you can cheat people, and you can put hexes on people, and it's awesome.
Oh, that sounds pretty badass, actually.
Yeah, there's, like, NPCs, like, it's not just you, like, beating the shit out of other people, like, it's good stuff. I have a crossbow.
Ooh, so do you have, like, classes and stuff then, or?
Yeah, I'm a wood elf. There's, like, 26 different races that you can be, or something like that. Okay. I'm a wood elf, and the first profession list I took was bounty hunter, and the second profession list I took was acrobat. So,
oh, okay.
I've got...
Sounds like a lot of jumping around.
Yeah, I got hella neat abilities, and I can break into places and stuff, and...
Sounds kind of roguish.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I always gravitate towards, like, the rogues, you know, mm-hmm. I like to move fast, clever, that kind of stuff. Cunning is the word I think they like to use.
Yeah.
Is it hard to stay in character for the whole time? Like, is it...
I mean, you kind
of... How much...
It behooves you to build a character who is not, like, incredibly different from who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like, from, like, Friday evening to Sunday afternoon, like, the game is on constantly. Like, unless you have some kind of, like, emergency or medical reason or something like that, like, you're in character the whole time. So you get some time to kind of, like, sort of get in the mindset, and then you stick with it for a long period of time. And then, you know, when you go home, you normalize again. So it's a lot easier than it would be if you were doing it for a much briefer period of time.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. So that leads me to a certain question that I like to ask when it comes up. In the realms of cosplay, are you more into the costume part or the play part? Like, do you like being the character more or making the costume more?
The costume aspect really appeals to me. Like, I don't, I really like interacting with, like, other cosplayers from the same media. Like, you know, if I'm, like, the Dragon Age groups are always super fun, because you get to, you can make little in-character jokes and things like that, but I don't consistently stay in character, like, when I'm at conventions doing regular cosplay. I get a lot out of the mechanical aspects of, like, building stuff and, like, figuring out how I'm gonna make things and translating it from 2D to 3D and all that. So that's the real draw to me. And then the conventions are mostly to just hang out with my friends for for a weekend and get drunk and, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been using them for.
You're a man after our own hearts.
Yeah, yes. There's a level of, like, peer recognition to it also. You know, like, when you've worked hard on a costume, like, you wanna show off to people a little bit.
That sounds good. See, I'm pretty shit at making costumes, I assume, at least, anytime I try, because I don't put a lot of effort in. So my best costumes are either things that are really simple or thrown together, or things made by a dear friend, Hamilton, for example. But I think
Imagine him pointing to me.
Yes, I am pointing to you virtually. And physically at the computer, you can't see that, but I think the thing that always catches me about the play part of cosplay is that I tend to gravitate towards characters that have similar traits to me. So, like, my landmark costumes, I guess I would call them, are Hamilton, Sonic, and, like, an Inkling from Splatoon. And Sonic and Hamilton are both kind of motor mouth, sort of vaguely cocky, but maybe confident, but underlying insecure people that are always, like, pointing at people they find attractive, kind of like, ayy. And that kind of really fits my personality without any real shifting. So it's like, am I in character, or am I just kind of playing up myself because it fits this character?
Yeah, I know that feel. And there are cosplays that I've chosen for that reason also. Like, usually I choose my costumes based on, like, a connection that I have to the character. And
that makes sense.
In some respects, like, there are some characters that I choose because they are me, and then there's some characters that I choose because I admire them as a person, or, like, I, you know, they're the sort of person I would want to hang out with. Not necessarily, I don't necessarily have a lot in common with them, but, like,
that makes sense.
I think they're awesome. Like, that's how Dorian is. I'm not that much like Dorian in real life, but,
okay,
like, I would love to hang out with Dorian.
Yeah, I think that's how I stumbled upon Rosalina, because I'm not an 8 feet tall woman from space that can shoot stars. but I do admire her single platinum blonde bang and cool silver crown, so...
Who wouldn't?
Exactly. Rosalina is space bae all day, every day.
Yeah, but there are characters that I... Like, young adult Loki. I identify a lot with, like, teen-aged Loki from the Young Avengers. And also Billy Kaplan. Like, those two, I think, have, in different ways, have traits that are similar to the traits that I have. So it's pretty easy for me to be in character just accidentally when I'm cosplaying either of those two.
That makes sense. Yeah, your Loki costume is always... one that I thought was pretty sweet.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I gotta wear that again. It's pretty comfortable, but I gotta remake the horns. That's the trouble with cosplay. You make it for hashtag aesthetic and not for hashtag wearability. So
that makes sense.
So bits wear out or get damaged or whatever, and I won't stand for it. I must update them.
Yeah, that's the way to be. Hey, so we're actually pretty far in this. It's been going pretty quick, so it's customary for us to jump into some rapid-fire questions. It might be a quick round, might not. You comfortable jumping into that?
Sure, yeah.
Cool. Hey, Steph, you know the tradition. You want to pull one out?
Yes, sir. Alrighty. The first question I'm going to throw at you is, what is a crossover you would like to see from any media? It can be real, it can be fictional... Mostly fictional, video games, movies, comic books, TV, anything.
Oh, man.
See, that's what I was thinking, too.
See, I'm just thinking of random things that I like now that don't make sense.
Hey, you don't have to. It's just a game. It's just a podcast.
Okay. This is a good one. I want to see the Young Avengers play Dragon Age.
Oh, so like playing it on console then?
Yeah. Kind of, but like,
oh, okay.
Because I don't know. There's all the Young Avengers. Well, not all of them, but canonically, the Young Avengers talk about video games a lot. And I don't know if that counts as a crossover, but if there was just a live stream of the Young Avengers playing Dragon Age Inquisition, like, I would watch the shit out of that.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Have you ever seen the Team Four Star guys, the ones that do the Dragon Ball Z Abridged series? Sometimes they do live streams as like Nappa and Vegeta playing games.
I have not seen that, but yeah, that's exactly what I have in mind.
Well, it's, I don't think they're live streams, but they're like just recordings. It's they do it in voice and in the character. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing. Actually, like probably as fans, that would be an easy thing to do. Now that I'm thinking, I mean, obviously, you could just do it like they do it. The Young Avengers don't have like canonical voices or anything like that, so you could just get some of your friends together, take on a persona, and record yourself playing video games.
That sounds like I might have to try that one day. I like that. cool. Okay, what's another one we got here? Okay, Evan, do you know what a kigurumi is?
Oh, boy, do I know what a kigurumi is.
I don't know how to interpret that response, but...
I've made a bunch of kigurumis, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, not so much anymore, but I used to make custom ones and sell them, so...
Oh, so this custom, this question might be a little bit redundant, but it reads, what kind of kigurumi would you want / do you have? So I guess, what's your favorite one?
I am currently making for myself an Iron Bowl kigurumi. It has presented some really interesting, dilemmas.
That's awesome.
Because
I think you broke down.
The biggest struggle I've had so far is like, do I put nipples on it?
Absolutely yes. I don't know the mechanics of that. If you can always choose to go back and say yes later, but if you can't, then I say yes for sure.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Please do.
Yeah, I bought. There was a sale, and I bought a bunch of fleece. Like the idea came to me in a flash of brilliance from heaven, I guess. And I was
just
like,
curious. You said there was a sale. I'm like, a sale of what to inspire you to get to this? That's awesome. Oh snap! You got the next one.
Oh yeah, sorry, I was a little bit thrown off, but let's carry on. Alrighty. If you had a crappy X-Men power, what would it be? Like something that would count as a mutant, but it wouldn't get you on the team.
Oh man.
This one always seems to give people a little bit of pause.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good one.
Do you have one, Dom?
No, but I mean but a good one, I mean a bad one, you know.
Right.
Yeah, like a good bad one.
I'd say okay. The ability to drink just enough to say like wildly inappropriate things that if you were a little bit drunker you'd forget them and you'd be absolved of it, but I stay on the edge of sober where I wake up the next morning like, whoa, said a lot of stuff yesterday, probably shouldn't have did that. I feel like that's a crappy X-Men power because it seems like a mutation. There we are.
Okay, mine would be shape-shifting. But I can only turn into a slightly different version of myself that's totally recognizable.
It works.
Would you care to elaborate a little bit on that?
I can just do things like change my hair color or like gain some weight or something like that. But like do it instantly, but otherwise be totally recognizable and not have any disguise ability at all. Just to like slightly change my natural appearance, but in a very insignificant way that's totally useless.
That's still Evan, but he has elf ears now.
Yeah. Actually, the elf ears would be pretty convenient, because I don't have to worry about liquid latex anymore.
That's the worst.
That's like a good, bad, good power.
I wasn't even thinking about elf ears. Elf ears, if anything, seems too good for that power. So, like, maybe just, like, I can make myself have either attached or detached earlobes, but,
I mean, I still want to get you on the X-Men, but Professor Xavier would be like, nice try, kid. how about this next one? Have you ever seen Avatar?
Yes.
Not the blue people one, the bending one.
Yes, yeah. Well, I've seen both, but yes.
Okay. What kind of elemental bender from that show would you choose to be? Or save that if you don't want to, any kind of elemental bender, if there's other elements?
I don't know. I've always felt like water would be my jam.
Okay.
I've had people disagree with me on that. But I've always felt in my heart like I would be a waterbender.
Okay, that's fair.
How does someone else tell you what kind of bender you would be?
I don't know.
It seems presumptuous.
I've had a lot of people say Earth. I don't know why.
It feels like, someone telling you your Hogwarts house. Like, where do you get off? Sorry, me.
It's, what do you think you are, a fancy hat? In the vein of that, Evan, we're going to put you in the hot seat. What kind of bender do you think Stephanie and I would be?
Oh, man.
And no judgment given.
I'm gonna say Earth for Dom and also Water for Stephanie.
Okay.
I'd go with Water for myself, so.
I could see Earth. I would definitely use that for some cool things, all pranks, but I always try to fit into an airbender, I think, just because they seem relatively unstoppable.
That is true. As far as
a convenience thing, you know. You don't have to worry about being taken off the ground or away from water or an eclipse, whatever that would be. But cool. And I think you want to throw one more in, Steph?
Yeah. So, to piggyback off the previous question, what is your Hogwarts house?
Slytherin.
Yes.
Outnumbered.
Yeah. I've struggled with this for a long time because, like, I self-identified as a Ravenclaw for a long time, and, like, I took the Pottermore quiz, like, years ago, and it sorted me into Slytherin, and I was, like, offended. But then, like, the more I thought about it, the more Slytherin-y I realized I was. I was in denial for a while, but I have gradually come to accept my Slytherin identity, and I am now very proud of being a Slytherin, and I took the new Pottermore quiz, got Slytherin again, and I'm like, yep, this is where I was meant to be in life. I'm also currently in a Slytherin Hufflepuff relationship, which is the best possible kind of relationship. So,
even as a non-Slytherin, I would agree.
Well, I need to find some lovely Hufflepuffs then, because this Slytherin fast talker needs to find some of the niceness of Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuffs are excellent finders, so...
Maybe they'll find what? You.
Oh, I just gotta sit here and just wait, you know, with my snakes and cunning.
Yeah, well, you know, snakes, historically, in the Harry Potter world, do just wait around in caves for someone to turn up, so...
Okay, well, I don't know what the cave would be in this metaphor. I guess just my house or something, but... I will wait patiently. So... New feature, Evan, you're the first person to ever see this.
So excited.
Do you have any questions for us? And I promise we're not going to steal them and totally use them on the next guests. I promise that's not what's going to happen.
Okay. This is, I think, a very telling question. I read it somewhere. I don't remember exactly where. But I think this question, like, in an abstract way, says a lot about people, depending on how they answer. Would you rather be the only immortal person on a planet where everybody else is mortal and they're gonna die? Or would you rather be the only mortal person on a planet where everybody else is immortal and is gonna live forever?
That's deep.
Going with my gut, I'm going with the second one.
Yeah, I'm going to just be immortal. I'm just going to take the L.
Yeah, that's what I said too. Most people do not answer that way. Most people would rather be the only one who's immortal.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you always are surrounded by people who are dying. Maybe I just read a lot of vampire fiction in my formative years.
That might have something to do with it. Yeah, okay. And also, I say most people, not as like a statistically significant sample of just like, you know, of the people that I've asked, most of them have been like, nah, I don't want to die.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's in a, you know, as someone who is frequently like afraid of death because of other reasons, I'm like, it's scary. But the prospect of living forever is also like, well, you don't have to worry about dying, but you have to just have sadness all the time. And that doesn't seem worth it to me.
Also, in the scenario where you're the only one who's going to die, like, imagine how, like, if everyone else is immortal, like, you have to assume that they've been around longer than you have. Maybe not, but anyway, like, imagine all the stuff you could learn from your immortal friends. And, like, it just seems like your life, however brief it might be in comparison, would just be a fuller life that way.
That makes sense, yeah. That makes sense. Because you'd essentially have, like, infinite, like, parents to, like, raise you and all that, and then equally infinite suitors, and then, like, infinitely equal, like, children when you're about to pass.
Yeah, if you're the only immortal one, I just feel like you're constantly getting smarter and wiser, like, every year you live, and then, like, all the people around you, like, they are never going to reach your level. Like, even if they live to be super old, like, you're going to have experienced so much. And, like, they're going to, like, it's going to be difficult to find anybody who can really, like, grasp your situation there.
Ah, yes, the Tony Stark problem. He's a smart man with a lovely beard.
Yeah.
That was a deep question. Kind of took a turn on that for a second.
Sorry, but I didn't mean to be serious. I have a sillier version that's also significant. would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 20 duck-sized horses?
I'm going with the little horses.
Because a duck's awfully close to a goose, and fuck geese.
Geese are... There's, like, episodes of regular show that deal with the fact that geese will, like, wreck your shit, like, because of being near them. And I'm fighting the little tiny horses. I think I could stomp out a couple little bronies if I had to. Are they rubber horses, like rubber ducks, or...
Sorry?
Are they rubber horses, like being rubber ducks, or are they, like, no, horse horses?
They are very much alive, small, aggressive, duck-sized horses.
I'll fight the horses. It sounds like a random encounter in an RPG. I've been training my whole life for this. As long as they're not, like, ponytails or something in on fire, I think I can manage.
Yeah, my answer was the same as you guys' answer for practicality reasons, but Andy, the person I'm dating, answered differently for an excellent reason. I'm going to tell you the reason.
Yes, please do. I'm curious.
Andy's reasoning was, if you were to fight a creature as incredible as a horse-sized duck, you would surely die. You would fail. But there would be songs sung about you and legends told about you for hundreds of years after your death, and that would be worth it.
Huh. I could see that, but there's the off chance in about 100 years people figure out a really easy way to beat up horse-sized ducks, and then I don't want to be like the subject of a podcast where they're laughing about how I was the one guy who died from a horse-sized duck. I'm looking out for... There's a great possible outcome, but I'm trying to like mitigate the problems.
Yeah, also, like, I don't know, maybe you could see the prompt was fight, not kill. Maybe you could capture the tiny duck-sized horses and, you know, sell them or have them as part of a circus or something. That'd be some quality entertainment.
Like a little mini chariot or something.
Yeah. Put a little dog in the chariot and then... or a squirrel, you know.
Wait, hold on. a horse-sized duck would essentially... Ducks can fly, so that would have essentially just be like a Pidgeotto or Pidgeot from Pokemon. And I think you could ride it around, so that might be... If you could beat it in a fight, you could That's tame true. It. And now you have, like, a flying bird sidekick. That I think I'm going to have to change my answer.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that possibility, but you are correct. Like, it, assuming that killing it is not part of the deal here, and you could, you know, who's to say you could not tame... Like, ducks can be socialized. You know, like, people have ducks as pets. Yeah,
you need,
like,
you need horse-sized bread.
Yeah.
You can tame it with giant crumbs, which are just smaller loaves.
That would be, like, that would be the dopest shit if you had a giant duck that you could just fly around on.
Yeah, I would like having a giant duck to fly around on. That would, I think that would make the fight worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Evan, it's been a blast having a chat with you. I'm glad we finally got to sit down and talk a little bit.
It has indeed been excellent. Thank you for having me on your podcast show.
Yeah, no problem. Do you have like any social media that you want to tell the listeners, like a Facebook or something, or any of that kind of stuff, if they wanted to follow you, if you want them to?
I have cosplay pages.
That's actually perfect.
Yeah, I have. It's Thaumaturge Arts, which is. Yeah, I'm not gonna spell it for you. It's
yeah,
it's
we can
long,
put it in the show notes.
Long
it's easy.
Spelling, long word. I was debating whether or not to use that word, but it's an excellent word. Anyway, Thaumaturge Cosplay and Thaumaturge Arts are my cosplay page and Etsy store. My Tumblr is Panty Dragon.
Also a good name. Dragons are very cool. So we got Etsy, Tumblr, and the cosplay pages. Excellent.
Cool. Shall I hit them with ours?
Steph, I would love it if you did that.
Alrighty. So you can find me on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. You can find me on Twitter at Captain Steph. You can find Dom pretty much anywhere at Brother Dom. That's with an A, not with a hard E-R.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Both of us write for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog, which is ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com.
And Evan also writes there, too.
It's I do.
Evan also writes.
Yeah.
As Panty Dragon, yeah?
Yeah. It's Panty Dragon is my screen name on the blog, also.
Awesome. Excellent. And for those who don't know yet, it is a blog about, like, intersectional, like, feminism and stuff. Nerd culture, so... If you ever find me there, it's going to be about games and race. But the other writers pay a little bit more attention to feminism than me, mostly just because I feel ill-equipped, but I give it a shot. The old college try, as it were.
Your voice is valuable, Dom.
Oh, yes, thank you.
We appreciate your input.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, my voice, like, on Skype. I thought it was, like, a golden flow of voice. But
oh,
I
well, no, that changed. Also. I meant your, like, your... author's voice, but yeah, no, your actual physical voice is also sultry and dulcet, and it's very pleasant to listen to.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. All right, and then you can find our actual the character reveal podcast on Twitter at character rev with two R's in the middle, character rev, and we're on Simplecast, characterreveal.simplecast.fm. And you can find us on Stitcher now, too.
Yep, we are on Stitcher, and we're trying to get iTunes under control, but if anyone's ever tried to put something on iTunes, you realize that this might be kind of tricky, so we're trying. And Evan, Steph, anything before we sign off to these lovely listeners?
I don't have anything else.
Every single one of us is awesome. This is all
yes.
I have to say. Okay.
It's true. And for all those who are waiting with bated breath to know, I did finish my drink. It was delicious. It was a hard root beer. Very nice. 10.7%. So I was living on the edge, but hashtag drink responsibly, as always.
That's a pretty high alcohol content for root beer.
Yes, it was. It's a nice little adventure. But as long as you're careful, it's delicious. So if we do end up running into you at New York Comic Con, I'll have to buy you both a drink. It's it's customary, as it were.
Yeah, and it'll be my birthday, so.
So you double. Have to buy
yeah, ring. Yeah, it's the rule.
The golden rule. Drink unto others as you would drink yourself. Well, beautiful. Listeners, we appreciate you joining us for another episode. We hope you enjoyed this one, and you can find us on all the places that Steph mentioned previously, and Evan, where he mentioned previously. And until next time, we will see you later.
Bye. See ya.